And now Sylvia Moore has this place for telling us more about it.
Just for your question, for anger against God, we have a spiritual group. For patients with psychosis to speak about spiritual issues. And in one group, there were a man who was very in anger against God because he was sick. And this man came, was invited in the group for his testimony, and he helps a lot to say, because the other was very guilty to hate God, and he was able to relieve his guilt. So this is a very important part, because in transforming from insecure to secure, when you want to, it's the question of my presentation about spiritual need of patient. And here is an example: when people have negative religious coping, with they have anger against God, and they suffer and guilt, what to do in clinical practice? So he was of help for the patient. So okay. So, like Philip told, we have done research for more than 10 years on spirituality and psychosis, and first, we have studied spiritual and religious coping, and after we have done spiritual assessment. And now I will present the next step on the spiritual needs of patients. So, just a few slides to remember that for people with psychosis, spiritual coping is greater than in general population. We have, as Philip said, data about more than 200 patients in Switzerland, Canada, and US. And for those patients, more than a third say that spirituality and religiousness is essential in their life. It's the more important things in their life. And for one of four patients, it's what they lean on at the first place to cope with symptoms. So it's very, very important for that population. And for mainly 80% it's positive, and for 13 it's negative. What is positive? We have all seen that it can bring comfort, support against loneliness, and to help to cope with symptoms. For a lot of patients is positive. For negative, in schizophrenia, you have patients who have hallucination or delusion with religious content, and it brings confusion. And you have also other things like with other people, that people can have anger against God because I don't know, because a car accident or a death of a loved one, you can have also this, you also have people who lose their face because they are healed, and who are very, who feel sinful, guilt, and something like other people. So, in negative religious coping, you have negative religious coping like other people, and also people with delusion and hallucination, where spirituality increases those delusion and hallucination. You also have people with delusion and hallucination with religious content, but with healthy spirituality that decreases those delusion. But half-half. So this kind of figure, say we are in a clinic, caring for patients, and it's so important what we do in clinical practice for such results. So it was you have a positive coping we have seen all these things in positive coping, and all these things in negative coping, and what to do in clinical. It's so important. It may alleviate the illness or increase the illness. So we teach psychiatrists to do a spiritual assessment, and we with the same interview we have used to collect data about what they believe, what's the history, if there is conversion or not, change in the life, and the relationship with psychiatric treatment. Some people don't refuse psychiatric treatment, they want to lean only on spiritual coping. Or you have also people who are looking for spiritual healing, and the priest or the healer tell the patient, yes, you have to accept psychiatric treatment, and then they accept psychiatric treatment. So spirituality can be used at an ease for psychiatric treatment too. This psychiatrist who assess, who conduct spiritual assessment with their own patient, it takes a few minutes, 15 to half an hour minutes. We, Dr. Hugley, with Professor Bonpron, make a supervision of the psychiatrist, and in some case, they see that in psychiatric treatment, they can lean on spirituality and religiosity for the patient as a supporting positive coping, because we have seen in the longitudinal data that when patients have positive spiritual coping, they are so isolated. This coping needs to be nurtured. So with time, without they let this with time. They say it's a chronic disease with a lot of loss, and they can also lose their positive coping with time. So they are very isolated. So you have to support positive coping. Sometimes also they say, you can think it's crazy to believe in God, and psychiatrists do not like that, and it's not good for me. So you have to support positive coping. Another thing is working on identity and values. Some people lean on spirituality to feel to be value people, to have worth their life, to be worth, even if they are schizophrenic, they have children of God, their life has value. Look, it's working on a positive sense of self. There is a problem of delusion and faith, how to make the difference. Sometimes it's a confusion. Also to link patient with the clergy, because even if spirituality is very important, they are rarely in a church community or speaking with other people about spirituality and religion because of impairment in social relationship. Addressing negative religious coping, it's an important part, because for example anger against God, and also addressing representation of the illness to foster acceptance of treatment. So all these things appear after psychiatrists done the spiritual assessment of things they could this issue that they could take in the care of their patient. It was on supervision. However, 3 months after, they do not change their practice. They do not change their practice, but one thing very important is that the relationship between patients and psychiatrist was better after spiritual assessment, even if they do nothing about what was seen in supervision. They had a closer relationship seen by an objective indicator which was missing consultation. They miss
less consultation.
Yes, the frequency of missed consultation was very low after spiritual assessment. It was a change in relationship. But so we see all these things, and we have implemented a spirituality and recovery group for patients in our consultation, and we had a problem. Because we see spirituality is important for patients, we can discuss some clinically relevant issue in psychotherapy with patients, but psychiatrists didn't indicate the group for the patient.
Didn't address
patient. The group was available, but they didn't address patients to the group. So I wonder if all this we offer to patients to have a place for this spiritual issue. Do the patient want to do this or not? We have data on how it's important. We have data about what we could address in psychotherapy, but we had no data of what patient wanted. So it was so we do a little prospective study for the spiritual needs. We ask psychiatrists have to ask the it was prospective. The next 30 patients, they have to ask these three questions. Do they want to address spirituality or religious issue in their care? Do they talk about those issues with someone? And if they wish to meet me or my colleague, who are leader of the spirituality and recovery group. These three questions. So we have data about 147 outpatients. You see it's chronic illness, the mean duration is 16 years. And two-thirds are psychosis. And we do not choose a patient for this study. So it was all patients that come to the clinic, the psychiatrist ask for this preparation. We have from medical chart. In this recreation, we didn't ask what is religious affiliation. First, I have seen that in medical chart you have a place with address and insurance and person to contact and religious affiliation. It's even not recorded in one of three medical charts. It's how in psychiatry religion is considered. So those patients, half of them were Christians, but were in Geneva. It's an international study city. We have other people from Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism. So one of four patients say, yes, I want to discuss spiritual and religious issues in my care in the psychiatric consultation. One about four. So it's an important result. And by whom they want this issue to be addressed. So so either they want to be addressed by the psychiatrist and a religious professional, either the chaplain or a religious professional of their specific community. And you have 8% say, well, only the psychiatrist to address this issue, not for example, the priest or the religious professional.
17%?
Mm?
C'est 17% des psychiatres?
Oui.
Pas 8.
Seulement les psychiatres.
Seulement
exclusively.
Mental health professional is...
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Exclusively, it's 17%.
Mm-hmm.
And 60% is... 8% is a religious professional and psychiatrist. And for 8%, it's not the psychiatrist, but a religious professional. So, and what I have seen, this is very important because we have to, there is some overlap, and sometimes I want to speak with one and not with the other. And I see people who want only to speak with a psychiatrist or psychologist of spiritual issue is... about negative religious cooking, it's about hunger against God, it's about sin, it's about guilt not to do what their religion, they think they have to do with their religion, all these things they want not to talk with a religious professional. So they want to talk about this issue because it's it's a burden for them. And in the therapeutic process, we deal with this issue, and after we try to make contact with a religious professional. It's like a journey, and we have a place as psychologists or psychiatrists, but it's important to support positive religious coping, to help them to it's like a bridge to help them to have a contact. And sometimes it's because they go, for example, to a priest and say about the sickness, and the priest say you have to go to a psychiatrist, not to a priest, you are sick, and go to the psychiatrist, and they are very hurt of this, and they don't want to go back. And it's different, I think it was the response of one priest, not of all, and they can meet the chaplain that is used with the illness and discuss spiritual issues. So it's so at this space you see it's also interesting to see what people want only professional religious professional, because not all of them see one, but they'd like to, and it's difficult for them to contact. So we can ease this contact. Okay. The second question, if they speak a quarter want to speak of spiritual issue in their treatment, and two thirds of them wanted to meet me, and I did with them the spiritual assessment to see if the spiritual group was an indication or not, if there is spiritual problem or not, and so I met the other patient. 24 patients said they wanted to meet. Three dropped out. So dropped out of the consultation. They don't go for their meeting. So I didn't meet them. For five patients, it was not an indication. For example, a patient, it was his first episode of psychosis. He had a voice and delusion, and he was a Buddhist, and he tried meditation to cope with voice and delusion. Before, he was not practicing meditation, but he was a Buddhist, and he made a ritual, Buddhist ritual, and then he tried meditation, and this meditation make greater the hallucination and delusion. And I speak with him about other way to cope with these symptoms. Other one was, for example, not an indication, a patient, she was a Muslim, she had positive religious coping, and she met me because she has so low self-esteem and so low self-affirmation skills that she cannot say no to anybody. So she said yes to every question and I sent her to the self-affirmation group. So you see, it's important when patients say yes, yes, yes. Well, it's important to go deeper, why, and to see if it's an indication or not. So for 11% of patients, the group was an indication. Not all go into the group because for some people the timing was not a good timing. They are working at the moment of the group. But for some people, to have a therapeutic group is too much. They are too afraid. So for them, it was a individual psychotherapy where spiritual and religious issues were discussed. So at the end of this little study, one of 10 patients of our consultation, it was an indication to take into account spiritual and religious issues. It was mainly negative religious coping and also overlap of psychotic symptoms on face, and the patients are confused and they want to be helped in this confusion. So conclusion. What would be the conclusion? So a systematic inclusion should be done for all patients. It takes very few minutes to do it for patients. It can be it is advocated for a psychiatry of the person, that you take account of cultural factors, and spirituality belongs to cultural factors, so it could be done. And now the question is what to do. What to do? You have several of ways of dealing of this spiritual and religious issue in treatment. You can refer to the chaplain, but as we have seen, you don't have to do an automatic referral, because for some questions they don't want to go. So we have to bring a bridge with chaplain. You can do like we do exploration of spirituality in individual and groupal psychotherapy. In other place, you have holistic peer program, like in Langenthal, where you work. Or you can find some psychotherapy includes spiritual and concept and practice in the therapy. So this we do not do. We are public service, and I think it's more. I don't think it's a good thing for a public service to do.
To what?
To have a spiritual therapist.
Okay.
So, well, it's all perhaps in the issue in the group. We led for 3 years now, this group, and it's this issue we have seen that we can deal in treatment of those people. And you have also other things that appear in school and related with God figure, like you have seen in the previous presentation, and other existential issue about the role of people with mental illness in society, stigmatization, about sexuality, about death, about forgiveness, and they bring a lot of existential issues too. So thank you for your attention.